Welcome back to Wealthy, Worthy, and Wild. I'm Amy from Rebel Nutrition. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. We have a very special guest, one of my Online Course Academy students. Her name is Corey. You guys have probably seen me talk all about her on Instagram. We are talking all about her epic six-figure online course launch. And you guys, when Corey first reached out to me, she was about halfway through her launch. I specifically remember her sending me a DM and she was like, oh my gosh, I've passed my goal of 70K. And again, you guys, this was only halfway through her launch. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, we have to have you on the podcast once your launch is done to talk all about your tips, your tricks, your strategies, what went well, what didn't, and all of the final results and numbers of her launch. So we get into all of that in the podcast today. And I just wanted to say before we get into all of her epic success, which I'm so, so thrilled about, just to kind of manage expectations here, Corey's story is absolutely amazing. But if anybody is out there who maybe just had an online course launch, let's say, and only made a couple $1,000s, that is still incredible, okay? So I just want to throw it out there that her results aren't necessarily typical. I mean, obviously she's proof of what is possible, especially if you have something like Online Course Academy to kind of take you through step by step exactly what you need to do every step of the way through your course creation, through your launch, through your audience building. But when I first launched my online course, now I didn't have Online Course Academy at the time, which is why I ended up creating that course. But when I first launched my very first online course, I made, I think, a couple $1,000s. And so it was nothing like Corey's experience, you guys, but just because, let's say, you start and you only, you know, hit a fraction of that, doesn't mean that you aren't going to be successful and have five and six figure launches, because now those are totally normal for me. But I obviously had to try new things, test it out, and really just like see what worked and what didn't, especially kind of doing it myself and not really having a plan to follow. So I just don't want anybody out there to feel discouraged if, let's say, you had an online course launch that you only enrolled 10 students. I think that's still amazing. And every single launch after that is only going to grow. So I just wanted to throw it out there. Don't get down on yourself. She is really proof of what is possible for you. And I love sharing her story for this reason, because you guys, she doesn't even have a huge audience. I think a lot of people think that in order to have a five or six or multiple six-figure launch, you have to have like hundreds of thousands of followers. And that is absolutely not the case. I think when she launched her course, she was only at around 10 or 15,000 followers, which is still a good amount, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing like you would probably expect. So I'm really excited. We're going to break down all of the things that she did and how her course had such an epic result. But I just wanted to let you guys know, if you are interested in Online Course Academy, which is the course that obviously Corey was a student of mine in, and you want to learn more about it and if it's right for you, you can text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. Again, you can text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. And this is US only. I will tell you, if you're not in the US, how to get this link as well. But you will get an automated text message back to sign up for my free online course training. Okay, so in this free training, you're gonna learn how you can start making $5,000 a month or more from your own online course, and a precise calculation for how big your audience would need to be in order to hit that 5K a month mark. Okay, we're also gonna be talking about how to grow your audience while simultaneously building your course. I'm gonna teach you why you don't actually need to be a quote unquote expert before selling your course. We're gonna talk all about selling your online course, because obviously that is huge. I'm gonna be sharing how to generate buzz and excitement around your online course topic, as well as how to get as many students enrolled as possible without paying for ads. These are some of the strategies I also taught Corey. And at the end of this training, you guys, I'm also going to be talking all about Online Course Academy, if it's right for you, and you will also get a limited time offer to enroll into OCA at the end of this free training. So again, to sign up for the free training, you're just going to text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. And if you are outside of the US, you can also just click the link in the show notes that will take you to sign up for the training. You can also find the link in my Instagram bio. You can also find the link on rebelnutrition.com. I share this link all over the place. If you can't find it, you can always send me a DM and I will get it to you on Instagram, okay? I want everybody who is even remotely interested in an online course to sign up for this free training. It's going to change your life. I want to help as many women create online courses and make a shitload of money this year as possible, okay? So let's welcome Corey to the show, you guys. Corey is living the island life in Hawaii and recently launched her first online course on restoring women's youthful metabolisms, vitality, and food freedom. She started coaching women one-on-one after going through her own healing journey of reversing her debilitating endometriosis after receiving no help or answers from the conventional Western approaches. When she healed herself, she realized the epidemic of hormone, fertility, thyroid, and overall health issues around her from our modern-day lifestyles, diet culture habits, and nutrition fads. It seemed that every woman she spoke to was suffering from PMS, low libido, dogmatic food restriction, low energy, afternoon crashes, bloating, and anxiety. This really ignited her passion to learn more about how to live, eat, and move in a way that allows our bodies to thrive the way in which we were biologically designed. Since then, she's been helping women restore their health from the ground up and therefore empowering them to take control of their health, reverse their symptoms for good, and to finally thrive. Corey, welcome to the show. Okay, welcome back to the show, everyone. I am so excited. Corey, my OCA shining star. I'm so excited to talk to you about your course and your whole launch strategy and all the good stuff living in Maui. I got so many questions for you. So welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh. I'm so pumped to be here. It's very surreal being on your podcast because I feel like it was 2 months ago that I was still putting the finishing touches on it and thinking like, am I ever going to launch this? So the fact that I'm sitting here like reflecting back on it is surreal. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to have you. And for those of you who don't know and don't follow me on Instagram, I've been talking about Corey's story a lot lately because she had an absolutely epic online course launch. And we're going to get into all of the details. But before we get into the launch details and how long it took you and all of that good stuff, do you want to just tell us a little bit about kind of your life before? I know it wasn't that long ago, but your life before creating an online course and what prompted you to want to create a course in the first place?
Yes, that's a fantastic question. I was working one-on-one with women for almost 4 years. And it got to the point, it was kind of this twofold thing that I was facing at the end of the day when I finally decided to launch a course. Number one, I had reached capacity and I could no longer take on the amount of clients that I wanted to take on. And so number one, I was like, okay, I have this message. I want to put it out there. I have no way to, you know, duplicate 500 of me to get this out there. So like, what is my solution here? You know, like how can I possibly get this message out here without completely draining myself? And then number two, I had recently moved on the island of Maui. And so I was on a completely different time zone than so many of my clients. I'm sure you face this whenever you did you go through that whenever you moved to Maui originally?
Yes. And then for a while too, when I was a digital nomad, because it was like, if I wanted to see a client, it would be like 9 p.m. my time. And I was like, I cannot do this anymore.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you totally relate to this. I'm sure there are listeners that relate to this as well. Even if you are on the same time zone, just like the idea of being on somebody else's schedule is something that is for some people and it's not for other people. And I didn't realize that the business model of one-on-one coaching was not the best fit for me until I've been doing it for literally years. And so I didn't put the pieces together until Amy actually, in her course, she has you take this personality test. And I ended up being so obsessed with it that I introduced my students to you, gave you a shout out. Because I was like, oh my gosh, this, it teaches you so much about yourself. And what I learned is that I'm a rebel and rebels really need so much freedom and flexibility. And so whenever the idea was introduced to me to start a course, which I mean, honestly, it had been years that people have been asking me, you know, to possibly do this because it worked better for them. You know, they were like, I'm interested in your program, but I need something self-paced. And it was just never the right time. But when I moved to Hawaii, I was like, all right, like I'm hitting a crossroads here. I'm a stay-at-home mom and I worked during my son's naps and he was starting to no longer nap either. And so many things led to me needing to figure out something different. So that's pretty much what led, I mean, it was like all roads led to me creating a course.
I love looking at this business model as just such a win-win, because I think a lot of people think like, well, who's going to buy a course from me? And it's like, truly it's a win-win for everybody, because not only are you able to enroll more students and essentially make more money and help more people, but the people that you're selling it to can go through it on their own time, and they don't have to, you know, schedule a call with you or whatever. So I just love that. And I love that this was a way that you were able to scale from one-on-one clients. So what was your topic of your course?
So my topic of my course was restoring the metabolism, and I did it through movement, lifestyle, and nutrition. So it was just this whole like lifestyle makeover, really revealing a lot about diet culture and things that we don't know are necessarily from diet culture that we learn at a young age, but really dismantling a lot of thought processes. I talked about psychology a lot, a lot of rewiring of thought processes, and then getting to build up our health from the ground up. And so the cool thing was getting to learn, from working one-on-one with women, that entire experience. Like, do I regret working one-on-one? Absolutely not. Like, that was the most incredible learning experience for me, because from that, like, I knew what to put into my course, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a question a lot of people have too, is do you have to see one-on-one clients before creating a course? I know I have an opinion about that, but what are your thoughts?
Oh my gosh. I would say absolutely not. Like, not even, I don't think so at all. I think that it gave me a unique approach in one area, but I just feel that whatever lights you up, whatever you would consider yourself an expert on, whatever you could sit there and talk to somebody for hours about for free, you know, like just whatever makes you feel alive, everybody has that, whether they don't know it about themselves or not. Like, some people take years to figure out what that is. And most of the time it's other people pointing it out in you, you know, like the people that, what kind of questions you get from people, or what people kind of try to learn from you. And so they can be helpful to have conversations with other people to figure that out. But I just feel that it's whatever completely lights you up. The way that it offered a unique approach for myself was because I got to know the female psyche so well. The career path that I originally chose, like before I started working with women, was actually working exclusively with men. And I had thought that I was never going to work with women. And yet women were the ones that I could sit down for hours with, you know, when they would ask me health questions, and I would just share and share and share. And I loved it so much, even though I was working with men. And so I found that really interesting, that that was what I was being drawn to. And then when you work that closely one-on-one with women for that many years, you know, hundreds of women, you just really get to know their struggles. Not every woman is the same. And so getting to know that many women's struggles was the unique advantage point that I got to incorporate into my course, because it allowed my course students to connect with me emotionally, because I was making an effort to connect with them emotionally, because I just understood like the psychology of women a little bit more as far as how they see their bodies, how they see food, you know, childhood struggles, that kind of thing.
That's such a good point. I'm actually glad that you said that. I thought that you were going to say the opposite, that you do think people should see one-on-one clients first. I completely agree with you. Seeing one-on-one clients can give you some incredible insight into maybe what people are coming to you for. And like you said, understanding the psyche of the people that you are going to be creating the course for. But I mean, I think back to myself when I started seeing one-on-one clients, and I knew even before that, that I didn't really want to do that forever. I knew that I wanted to figure out a way to reach more people at once with less effort. I just didn't know what a course was yet at that time. So just to inspire anybody out there who's like, maybe doesn't have a lot of one-on-one clients or experience, you don't have to do that. There's so many ways to make this happen. So you kind of talked about how you figured out what your course topic is going to be. Did you have a lot of the same types of clients coming to you with like the same issues, and that's kind of how you thought of your course topic? Or what, if you can explain a little bit about like the thought process of thinking of your course topic.
That's a really, really good question. So no, I didn't. And that was on me. That was on me for not really niching down and making it incredibly clear what my program offered back when I was doing one-on-one coaching. I mean, honestly, and this is why I was having an issue with reaching capacity, because I was literally like, Amy, I was to the point where I was scared to tell people what I did for a living because I did not want to take on another client, you know, because I was just like, I don't have the capacity to do this. And so what was happening, the majority of my clients were coming through word of mouth referrals. And so it wasn't like I was sitting down with these people and explaining to them, you know, this is exactly what I offer. Let's make sure that you're a good fit first before you sign up for this. They would just see results of their friends or their family members and go, oh, I want that. And so when you ask what kind of clients that I was taking on and were they different? Yeah, it was all over the place. What I, you know, like my ideal client would be somebody that wants to restore their health from the ground up, is not really worried about their weight, is just in for the process and like is just trusting the process. And what I got were people that wanted to sign up for a weight loss program. And so whenever I created my course and I knew that was not, I really wanted to repel, you know, that kind of clientele to somebody, not repel, but like, you know, direct them somewhere else because that's not what they're going to find here. And it's not going to be a good fit for them. And they're not going to be happy with how they spent their money if they're just pursuing, you know, a specific number on the scale to lose. Even though I'm very well versed in sustainable weight loss, that wasn't what I wanted to market my course as. And so that was extremely important to me to really, really hone in on what kind of, you know, unicorn client is a term that Amy uses in her course, in teaching you like how to niche down and how to reach that ideal student. And so from my experience, I was like, okay, I've learned that I've really been all over the place. And that is 100% on me. That's not anybody's fault, but my own for not making it explicitly clear, like what my program hopes to offer people, you know? And so that's why I was so incredibly clear whenever I launched my course, like this is who it is not for, this is who it is for. And it truly attracted 100% of like my absolute ideal unicorn clients. It was amazing.
That's so amazing. I feel like there's this energetic shift or something that happens when you, or when anybody who stands in their power about like, this is what I'm about. And yeah, some people aren't going to probably like it, but yeah. On the other hand, like more people are going to absolutely love it. And I think that's so key with creating a profitable course, because if your topic is not niche enough to where it's actually turning some people off, it's probably not niche enough. So I'm glad that you said that. So also, can you talk about, you said when you were seeing one-on-one clients, you kind of didn't really want to tell people about what you did because you didn't want more clients. So now how has your life sort of changed now that, you know, your unicorn client comes to you, you can, I'm guessing, just send them to your course. So what does that look like now? And how has that changed kind of your day-to-day schedule?
I mean, first of all, I never knew, backing up to creating a course, I knew, and I remember messaging you on Instagram saying, I know this is going to change my life. Like I actually specifically remember saying that, like before I even signed up for your course, I was like, I'm so excited. I know this is going to change my life, but I did not know the scale of how much it was going to change my life. Like in the trajectory of what would change after that, because that is the thing, is like, I was losing my passion. That's what it was. You know, when you don't want to take on any more clients because you have reached your capacity, you lose it, like blurs your sense of reality of why you're doing this in the first place. And so because I got to focus on creating a course that I knew I could reach limitless people, I got to pour and like rediscover how passionate I was about this topic and pour that into my course. And then now, like, I literally feel like I lit a fire to myself and rediscovered the reason I got into this in the first place. Like even 4 years ago, like I was not even nearly as passionate as I was now, which is so strange. Cause it's like, you know, you would think, I feel like the pattern you see is like someone starts out passionate and then like kind of fades over time. No, like it creating a course, like literally reignited this entire fire in me. And so now I just get to talk about it all I want. And it's really not even me. I don't bring it up. Like if people ask me and I just like, I find myself having to like cut myself off. You know what I mean? Like, okay, calm down, calm down, Corey. Like they may not want to hear all this, but I just am so on fire about women's health now. And like, I really it's amazing to see like how it's brought out this entire new side of me, just because I finally got to create a space for myself and create a business model that actually worked for me.
I love that. I mean, your passion definitely shines through. And I think that's probably why, one of the reasons why you've had such great success is that like people can see how passionate about it you are. And so I love hearing that. It's so inspiring because I completely agree. Once you've experienced even just the slightest taste of what an online course can do for you, and you like feel the possibilities and you feel into that, it's just, I mean, the possibilities are literally limitless. There's an unlimited amount of people that you can reach. So now I would love to talk a little bit more about the process of making your course. You mentioned when we were voice messaging yesterday that you worked on it during when your son was napping, which yes. I feel like is so inspiring. So how long did it take you to create? And then like, how many hours did you work on it per day or per week? What did that look like?
Yes, that's a great question. Okay, so beginning to end, it was 6 months, but keep in mind, so like you said, I was working during my son's naps, or probably like the later half of it, I started working on it at night after my husband went to bed, because I was just like, all right, like I actually really need to get this out sooner than later, because I could have just gone on and on and on, because there was just so much I wanted to put out on paper. But here's the thing, 6 months, like, I don't know if that sounds like a longer period of time, but I'm telling you, it would have taken me probably like 2 years had I not signed up for your course. Because here's the thing, like if you have the blueprints in front of you, if someone is laying out in front of you, like here's the detail work that you don't even have to worry about. Like here, I took care of this for you. Like I'm going to hold your hand and teach you how to do this. You just get to pour your creativity into this project. Like you just get to actually pour your heart into this project. That's where all of my energy got to go. And so even though 6 months sounds like a long time, like it really wasn't at all, because number one, my time was limited, but as far as how many hours per day I could work on it. So you said how many hours per day, I would say my son was napping for like an hour and a half each day. And then, so towards the later half, I'd probably work like an hour or two at night. So maybe three on a good day, like 3 hours per day on a weekday. Never worked on it on the weekend ever. And I had this one rule for myself that as I created a course, I was only going to, like literally the only rule, because Rebel, you know, don't
have a lot of rules.
Even your own. And so I had this one rule for myself that I was only going to work whenever I felt inspired to. And I literally felt like that was the most important thing I could have done for myself, because that was what showed up in my course. Like my students noticed that. They felt so into the entire product, you know, from beginning to finish, because they could hear in my voice how much I cared about them. None of it was tedious to me. You know, I just got to like pour my heart into this. And so, yeah, it was 3 hours per day on a good day, on a weekday, but it was literally like during that time, just me like putting on paper and spending my energy on what my strength was, because my weakness would have been email marketing and like just that's just stuff that I'm not great at. And so truly your course was a total godsend, because I do not know how I could have put out my course without it. Like it just would have taken so, so, so long.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, that was like my mission in making the course. And what I find, I mean, obviously now I reach a lot of people other than just like health coaches and nutritionists, but usually the people that I'm helping are not passionate about like the tech side of things or the email marketing. Like, I just want you guys to put what you're actually passionate about into your course and not have to worry about all of that other tedious stuff. So I love hearing that. And then your course, is it mainly videos, audio? Like what is the makeup of it?
So I thought I was going to do the whole video thing for like the whole time. I'm talking like face-to-face video. I thought I was going to like sit and record myself like on a video talking like the entire course. And then I was like, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. So I did an intro and closer video with my face. Other than that, I did screen record audios of slides.
Good to know. Yeah, that's, and so in OCA, I do teach both methods, but I do find, and you probably notice this as well, like doing the slides with the audio over it is just so much easier in my opinion.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And especially if you, maybe for someone that like already is getting ready for the day. And like, they're not making any extra effort to like do their hair, like just for the videos. You know what I mean? Like if that's already a part of your day,
that's true.
To have like a nice space in your house. Like we just live in a little tiny studio jungle shack. So it just like wasn't going to work for the kind of space that I needed to create for that. And so we just worked, and plus so many audio interruptions being in, I don't know if you ever created a course on Maui, but like there are so many animals outside and it just, I think I would have been so much more frustrated had I been recording my face as opposed to, oh, I can just like start over really quick. You know what I mean? It was easier for me.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I did actually one of my first courses and I remember my students being like, I love hearing the birds in the background. I was like, you can hear the birds. What? that's, yeah, that's, I think that's
so relatable. Really, yes.
It's just good to know too, for anybody who's like, oh, you know, I don't have a professional office set up, or I don't have professional lighting, or I don't like the way that, you know, I make this weird face when I'm on camera or whatever. It's like, you truly do not need to show your face if you don't want to. And it's, yes. I think a lot of times it can be just so much more streamlined to make a slide and speak over it. You can edit out all the mistakes. So
absolutely.
So a lot of people wanted to know, and I'm going to get into all of the Q&A from my audience in just a little bit, but do you want to talk a little bit about the strategies that you use to kind of grow your audience? A lot of people are curious how you grew, because obviously you had, I think you said 700 students enroll. So obviously you had a decent sized audience. So what were some of the things that you did to grow and engage your audience before you launched?
Before I launched, I wish I could tell you I had some secret strategy that I used that was applicable to like, here, like step by step, this is what I did. Honestly, I showed up, I was myself. It grew pretty organically during the course creation process, but here's what it is. Once I niched down, and because once I announced, I mean, I announced pretty early in the game that I was coming out with a course. And so even if you're not like putting out a ton of content on your course topic yet, the fact that you even put it out there and like, this is your niche and like, this is what you're going to be creating a course like about. I found that in and of itself, even that simple thing right there was already attracting my ideal audience. And I'm really not a huge like grid poster. I wish I was. I just have really had to pick and choose, as just with my schedule and being a mom, you know, of one, and I'm pregnant with my second, like I just really having to figure out what I have the best time, you know, how I can really utilize the short time I have. And so I'm more of a story poster, like getting on, showing my face, talking about different topics. And so I found that my stories were what were shared around, like share, and like really reaching, you know, those are going directly to somebody's private messages, you know, they're sharing it to a friend. And that's kind of how I found a lot of organic growth once I niched down and announced my course topic. And then I came out with a freebie, probably, if I'm remembering correctly, it was probably 4 months before my course launched, or 3 months before my course launched. I came out with a free metabolism guide where someone could go ahead and get started on the steps and really warm them up to the idea of my course in general. And that guide was shared so many times. And so I found that even just like creating a freebie that was, you know, related to my very specific niche, that was very helpful as well. But the most growth that I saw, Amy, like to be honest, was after my course launched, like in that 10-day window, I think I gained like 6,000 followers like in 10 days because so many people were sharing about the course. And I don't know if you want me to talk about like my launch right now as like far as like how I did that, but I did have a very specific strategy for reaching my ideal audience during my launch. And that is when the most growth happened.
Oh yes. I definitely want to get into the launch in just a second. I do want to circle back real quick to your freebie, because I know a lot of people struggle with that. And did you use any other social media platform besides Instagram and then sending people to your email list?
Or I did not. I thought I was going to continue posting on YouTube, like put out content, but I just like literally had to choose one platform. Like,
okay.
That's pretty much all I could do at the time.
No, I completely agree with you. And that's actually what I recommend is like choose one social media platform and your email list, those two combined, because it's doable. It's not overwhelming. And so it sounds like your freebie was amazing and really closely, you know, topic wise tied to your course, which is a huge, huge thing that I would recommend anybody do. But what was kind of the nature of your freebie? Was it a PDF? Was it a video? Yes. Okay.
It was a PDF. I just made it on Canva. I literally created it in less than 20 minutes because honestly, maybe even less than 10 minutes, because if you know that info so well, you can just like spit it out on paper. I mean, that being said, there were probably 200 typos in there, but I still got it out. And that is the best part about creating a freebie on something you know so much about, because it's really not that much work, like if it's the right topic for you. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So it was a PDF, and then I think it was one, two, three, four, maybe three or four pages, and you download it obviously in like a bundle. So it was like four pages for you to go through.
Well, I love that because I think, and this is huge, you guys. So like, make sure you're listening. The fact that she said she made this freebie in 10 to 20 minutes, it was a couple of pages in Canva and it was out into the world. I think that's the thing where a lot of people get really hung up, is that they think they need to spend hours on creating the most perfect freebie that's 25 pages. And it's like, no, the most important thing is that you create something and you get it out and see what the feedback is like. And like you said, people were sharing it and you had a great response from it. So you knew, yeah. I mean, that's also really good, a really good indication that your course would sell well because your freebie did well, right?
Yes. And actually I have something very important for whoever's listening to say about that, because sometimes our engagement on something really is not our best measure. Like in the course, we learn about how freebies are such a great, such a great way for us to test our, you know, our core, like basically like validate your course title and all that. So whenever I posted, I mean, this is kind of like a random side note, but whenever I posted the freebie on my Instagram feed, so I made an actual post saying like, hey, I have a freebie, like free download, this is where you can find it. I think I remember getting like, I think still, if I looked back, I mean, it's been a while since I've looked, but I think I probably had like 200 or 300 likes on that post, and yet over 1,000 saves. And then so many people, I probably gained like 2,500 people on my email list from that one post. But if you were just looking on the engagement of your post, and this is the thing, is like, let's say you put a post out there on your feed, like trying to validate your course topic through just that one post. Sometimes it really is not the best test of that. You know, if I was just going off of engagement on the post on my feed, I would have been like, oh, well, dang. Okay. Well, I gotta come up with a new course title. Like, this is obviously not going to work out. But because I had an actual funnel for people to go and download something, I was like, okay, wait, people actually really want to hear about this. It's just that sometimes social media is tricky in the way that we measure engagement.
That's a really, really good point. Number of likes or number of followers does not necessarily mean that somebody is or is not successful. It's just, it doesn't really tell you that much.
No, it tells you like nothing. Like, yeah, literally
pretty
nothing.
Much nothing. okay. So I would love to now get more into your launch and what that looked like. So I have a couple like pretty specific questions that hopefully you can break down what this looked like, because I know people are really interested. So first of all, you did an open and closed launch, or is it still evergreen?
It's evergreen. Okay. I did a 10-day window with an early bird special through that whole 10 days.
Okay. Okay. And then each day of that 10 days, what, like, did you plan in advance, I'm going to post on Instagram, I'm going to send out an email, or like, did you kind of just play it by ear?
I totally played it by ear. I'll be honest. I wish
Rebel.
I'm not even going to lie. Did not really plan any of that very well. I know some people are so incredible at the whole email marketing thing and planning Instagram content. That was just not me. And I knew, you know what? I think because I learned about the four tendencies quiz, I learned how to not stress myself out. And as a rebel, it was, don't plan anything. Don't commit yourself to anything ahead of time where it's going to make you feel it's going to make you feel stressed if you aren't able to follow through. And because of my lifestyle and like my son, it just like, it wasn't, I knew I could not completely commit myself to, you know, something every single day. So I really, really just winged it. And it worked out really well. What I did plan ahead was of course the launch team, but as far as what I was posting during my launch, that very much just like, I was playing it by ear.
I love to hear that because I kind of do a little bit of both. I mean, I have a general idea of like, I'm going to send out some emails. I'm probably going to jump on a live one day. I'm going to answer questions on Instagram stories. But also, if you are a rebel, and again, this quiz is going to be so valuable to anybody who creates a course, but if you are a rebel like we both are, sometimes it can just kind of kill the excitement if you have too much planned and you don't leave room in your schedule to just be spontaneous and, yes, you know, like jump on a live because you want to. And yes, I think that that level of authenticity is, again, something that your audience can really sense.
That's so true. And you really don't know what kind of questions people are going to be asking either. That's what I left a lot of flexibility for, was I wanted to make sure, again, kind of circling back to the topic of really niching down and repelling the student that was not going to be a great fit for my course and attracting the student that would be a great fit. I wanted to give so much flexibility to answer questions that people really, really kept focusing on. And so that is really that's kind of what I spent the launch doing, was answering questions on my story. Yeah, you just really know what, you never know what kind of response people are going to give you, and you never know what kind of questions people are going to give you. And so you can kind of tailor it through that.
So what did it kind of look like? Let's say the first day of your launch, how did you announce to your audience that your course was available, and what was the price promotion that you did, if you feel comfortable talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did $100 off. So my course is priced at $297 and I priced it at $197 for the first 10 days. The cool thing about living on island time is you get to post. I got to send an email out at, what was that? Like, trying to think of what time that was, maybe 9 p.m. because it was midnight on the West Coast at that point. So, you know, I announced that it would launch, the doors would open midnight West Coast time. So I got to, like, the night before actually open the doors. So then I could just go to bed and wake up the next morning and have, you know, these course sales. That was fun.
The best. So that is the best.
Yeah, it really is. It was just a really, really cool, really laid back experience to just watch the fruit of you working so hard. I've never worked so hard at anything in my entire life before. And so to put all of that, to work so hard, to know how hard you've worked, and then to see the fruit of that was just like a really rewarding experience, and just made me really feel passionate about just anybody being able to do this. Like, if I can do this working during my son's naps, like anybody, truly anybody can do this. So I opened the doors. My price promotion, like I said, was $100 off. And then what I did when I opened the doors was I announced it to my email list. They got first notice of that. And then the next day after the doors had been open for quite a few hours, I posted it to my stories or my feed. I can't remember, maybe both, and did a swipe up. And that was kind of the first day of launch.
And then, okay, so you had it really not super planned out. You left a lot of room for like flexibility, but you still also did some important things like send out an email and post Instagram. After that, did you end up sending out an email like every day or every couple of days and then posting to Instagram? Was that every day or was it kind of just whenever you got questions about it?
So I literally think on my feed, I think I only posted once during my whole launch, maybe second. Or a few days after my launch, I actually announced my pregnancy. So that was the next post that I did, was something totally unrelated as far as my feed. My stories were 100% like answering a ton of questions. I really didn't care if I came off as salesy because this was going to be the time of, mm-hmm, you know, for me to talk about this. And so I was posting a ton of testimonials because I had a team of people go through my course beforehand. And so that was whenever I was starting to post written testimonials, or resharing, if any of those people on my launch team decided to share to their own audience, I was resharing, you know, their stuff to my stories. As far as my emails, no, I am not the email queen. I really am not. I kind of knew, I kind of had an idea beforehand that I would not be the person that sent out the daily emails, it did not feel natural for me. So I was just like, meh, I'm not going to do it. So I did the announcement email, and then I announced the day before the doors closed as far as the early bird special to remind people like, hey, you have, you know, one more day. And then I sent an email the last day of the early bird promotion. And shockingly, that was absolutely when I got the most course sales. So like, and you talked about this in your course too, like, hey, be, you know, hold out, like finish strong. And so I was actually shocked, but really it was a bunch of me's that signed up at the end because I'm such a procrastinator. So I was like, oh, it's just a bunch of me's that like waited until the very end, you know, the very last day. But, you know, whenever your audience is growing, as you are launching, it's giving the people the opportunity as well to hop on your email list, you know, towards the end of your launch, even if they just found your page, and then being able to get access to that early bird special. So I'm actually really, really glad that I extended it the first 10 days as opposed to having it like the first 3 days, because so many people were brand new to my page and we're so glad that they got in there on time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, I'm taking a quick break from the episode to talk about my free online course academy training. So what if I told you could dedicate the next 1 to 3 months creating something that could provide you a full-time income from home for years and years and years to come? I am so passionate about online courses, you guys, because this has been the case for me as well as hundreds of my OCA students. My mission with Rebel Nutrition is to help as many women become financially independent as possible. No matter what your niche, no matter what your audience size, no matter how much imposter syndrome you have, okay, I'm gonna help you with all of that. So to learn more about OCA and if it's right for you, all you have to do is text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. Again, just text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. And this is for US only. So if you are outside of the US, there's another way that you can join. You can go to the show notes for this episode. You can also go to the link in my Instagram bio and sign up. It's called How to Create a Profitable Online Course. It's a free training. It's also all over my website. You can find the link really anywhere. And if you still can't find the link to join, you guys, you can also just DM me on Instagram and I'd be happy to send you the link to sign up. So in this free OCA training, you will learn how to make $5,000 a month or more from your online course, as well as a precise calculation for how big your audience needs to be in order to make that much. You're gonna learn how to grow your audience simultaneously while building out your course. So if right now you're like, oh my gosh, I wanna create a course, but I have no following, don't worry. This training is gonna tell you exactly how to do that. You're also gonna learn why you don't actually need to be an expert before selling your course, and how to generate buzz and excitement around your online course topic, as well as how to get as many students enrolled as possible without having to pay for ads. At the very end of this training, you guys, I'm gonna be talking all about Online Course Academy, if it's right for you, and a limited time offer to get into the course right now. So if you're ready to create an online course, or even if you don't feel ready, but you really wanna reap the benefits of what an online course can provide for you, it's time to sign up for this training. And again, you just text the word Online Course Academy, no spaces, to 44222. You can also click the link in the show notes to sign up. You can also click the link in my Instagram bio at Rebel Nutrition to sign up, as well as rebelnutrition.com. The link is everywhere. And last but not least, you still can't find it, send me a DM and we'll hook you up, okay? I am so excited to have you inside OCA and see what you create for yourself and your business this next year. That's kind of the great thing about launching is that you're definitely, while you're launching, you're probably going to grow your audience at the same time. It is what happens when you're being active and like talking about the thing that you're selling and people are sharing about it. But like anybody who's new to your audience, like let's say they find you on the first day of your launch, most people are not going to buy on the first day. They need to think about it. They need to learn about you. They need to maybe read your email or watch your stories. And then by day 10, you're like, okay, this is the last chance. And then that gives them a reason to get off the fence, right? So I think the way that you did it was just amazing. And I also love that you you went through OCA and you obviously learned a lot, but I love that you still did what felt right to you. And that's like something that just can't really be taught. And something that I try and tell people is like, look, I'm talking about a way that has worked for me and has worked for hundreds of my students, but that doesn't mean that you should ignore what's true to you and what you actually want to do. Because I think infusing that into whatever you're creating or however you want to launch is like literally the most important thing.
Oh my gosh. And you totally encouraged us in your course to really eat, like, honestly, through each module, you made sure to mention, make this, and maybe that's the rebel in you that's speaking to the other rebels, but like you definitely made sure that you mentioned, hey, make this your own thing. And I actually felt like that gave me so much freedom and creativity to be like, oh, I get to take what works for me and what fits for me and then make it into my own, you know, make it into my own thing. Like I really enjoyed making my own slides, for example, because I really am into aesthetics. And so that was something that I really loved being creative with because I got to make it my own thing and still apply the principles that you taught in the course.
Love it. So will you, before we get into your launch results, tell me a little bit more about your launch team, because at first when you said this, I thought you meant like you had a team of people helping you, but can you clarify what you mean by your launch team?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So this is something I am so into now. I had a woman who published a book that I'm a friend. This is a friend on the island. And she had told me in passing that when she had published her book, she had a launch team because she sells it primarily through Amazon, and Amazon reviews are everything for books. And so she had this launch team. And I was like, oh, what's that? And she said, it's people that I gave the book to for free in exchange for a written testimonial on Amazon. I was like, whoa, that is so genius. And so that stuck with me. And then whenever I was coming out with a course, here's the thing. If your course title and your course topic, for myself with women's health and really the pain points that I was talking about in the course, are incredibly triggering to people to hear if they're going through them, I really made the decision that like they truly need to hear, like anyone that's even thinking about taking this course, number one, most women don't even know that they need it, that it's something that they need, that investing into their health is something that they need. But number two, they need to hear real life stories. Like they need to hear women talk about how glad they are that they invested into their health and like, and it take away the barrier of just triggering them with the pain points. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the launch team is something that I thought about for a few months before my launch. And once I finished my course, I guess throughout the course creation process, I just kept in the back of my mind, who is my unicorn client? And that's something that Amy talks about in her course. And so what I did was develop this group of people whose audiences on Instagram specifically were primarily my unicorn clients. And so people that had cultivated this audience, you know, that would appreciate the message that my course is offering, the solution that my course is offering. And so I had about 7 to 10 of those women, but I also had previous clients, some of whom who actually reached out and asked, hey, will you be doing an affiliate program? Like, I'd really be interested in being involved in this. And so I was like, oh, why don't you just hop on my launch team? Because they had such phenomenal results through my program and were interested in learning more. And so what I did is I had a written commitment. I sent them, once my course was finished, I sent them my course for free in exchange for, the only requirement was a written testimonial. But I also said, if you feel that your audience would resonate with this message, please feel free to share any way that you feel is best. Just, I ask that you share during my launch window so your audience can get access to that early bird special. And so I think every single person on the launch team ended up sharing to their own audience. And some of these people had, you know, 100,000 followers. And so, and had such engaged audiences. One of my friends, this is a close, dear friend of mine. Her name is Rose Uncharted on Instagram. And her engagement like is so insane. I feel like maybe, I mean, if I'm remembering correctly, it was something between like 50 and 100 course sales within like a few minutes of her sharing on her story wow. about my course. And so it just shows you, like, if you just really study and think about like, okay, who would really, really, really appreciate hearing this message, and then finding platforms who have already cultivated that and who would really appreciate. And it's not something that they're like already putting out to their audience, but it's something that they would appreciate. And so, yeah, so most of the people on my launch team were actually people I knew personally, who I developed relationships with. And then I actually just took a leap of faith and really like put myself out there and asked people that I knew had larger audiences than me. But I was just like, honestly, like, I'm just not going to let the numbers intimidate me. I'm just going to reach out to them because I respect them so much. And like, they don't have to say yes to this at all. Like, they have there's no commitment or pressure at all. Like, they can literally just say, you know, whatever they want to. But the written testimonials were, you know, aside from them sharing to their own audiences, the written testimonials were they were of such value to me and to those who signed up for my course, because they could see real life examples of like, and then into my audience, whenever they're reading those testimonials, can really connect and see themselves in those testimonials.
Oh my gosh, that is such a good tip about having a launch team. And it's such a good way to, if anybody, you know, it's their first thing that they've ever sold, maybe they don't have any other testimonials. This is a great way to get people talking about it, to get some genuine testimonials. So how many people did you have on your launch team?
On my launch team were, I believe it was 25 people, but 15 of them were past clients that are not really active on social media. So they had like private accounts. They still shared about it. But like, and they told me beforehand, they were like, I really don't have a large account. I was like, I don't care at all. Like, I don't care if you reach one person or if you reach 10, like I don't even care if you share. I just want you to, I only want you to share if you feel like your audience will resonate with this. But really the exchange was more so for the written testimonial and to get very, very honest feedback from them. And so, wow, I'm so glad that I did it, because I had so many tech errors and typos. And I mean, this is my weakness for sure. And so a lot of people in my launch team were like, hey, you know, at minute 3 on lesson 7, like the audio cuts out for a second. And so I did a lot. I mean, it was like, thankfully I gave myself a good 2 or 3 weeks to fix errors. I didn't rush any of this process. But gosh, I probably fixed over 200 errors when it all came down to it. So that in and of itself would have been so worth me reaching out to 25 people and saying, hey, here's my course for free. Just tell me if I have any errors, you know, in my course.
Yeah, that's so, so valuable. Okay, now switching gears a little bit, if you feel comfortable telling, I know everybody really wants to know like your final launch results, how many students, your total revenue, if you feel comfortable chatting about that. And then if there's anything, I guess we'll start with that. And then I have one more follow-up question.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want everybody listening to, let's like be very clear that I still can't believe that this is the number that it reached. Like, I'm not some business guru who knew that this number was going to happen. That's why I'm just like, gosh, like anybody can do this. And I hope that you guys feel inspired, you know, anyone listening to think like, okay, like if I've got something to say, like I can make a product out of it and find the right audience and it can be so successful. And so I think at the end of my launch, I really should have written those numbers down. And even when I told you my total, I wasn't accounting for my payment plan people, because I did my payment plan separate. That's a whole conversation I'm not going to get into, but it was just an issue with the Teachable membership thing. But okay, so including the payment plans, it probably would have been closer to 150,000. So I think it ended up being around like 740 or 780 course students that signed up in that 10-day window. But seriously, it was such a shock even after that. I thought that the launch was going to happen and then that was going to be it. And then I would like launch 6 months later or something. And like, I don't know, I just didn't have a lot of expectations as far as revenue or like who this would reach or any of that. And so first off, the launch numbers shocked me, like absolutely shocked me. If it's helpful for anybody that's listening, I actually did set a goal for myself, a financial goal. And Amy walks you through how to actually set she lays out like how to set out your financial goal and like to see what's actually achievable. And it's a really amazing formula. And so what I did was not go off of the formula from my email list. You know how industry standard is, what percentage is industry standard from your email list?
I think it's like, they usually say like 1-3%, but I usually see higher than that, but I don't know what your experience with that is, but.
Okay. So, oh yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Especially if you engage really well. And so knowing that email marketing was not my strength, and I want to challenge myself and grow in this eventually, I totally will. But knowing at the time, it wasn't what I wanted to focus my energy on, and knowing that my strength was engagement on my Instagram stories, what I would do is frequently throughout my course creation process, I would poll my audience. And whenever you do a poll, like a yes or no answer, it shows you the actual number of people voting. And so I would ask them specifically, hey, only vote on this if you plan on purchasing my course. Would you appreciate seeing blah, blah, blah? Okay, so I would take those numbers and divide it by the amount of people that viewed my stories. And that was the kind of percentage that I would use throughout the course creation process to create my financial goal. And so my engagement of people on my Instagram stories, you know, divided by the people that share, that actually like viewed it, was always between 20-30%. And so I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to have a major goal. Like in my mind, it was huge, huge. And it is huge, but like my massive goal was 350 course sales. And so, and I would have been like mind blown if it had reached that number. And then when it got closer to the end of launch and I was like, wait, am I about to double this? Like, I don't understand. Like, how is this even happening? It was just shocking. So I am extremely humbled by this entire experience. And yeah, that number doubled the day before the last day of my launch. And then I got more, you know, like 80 or so more course sales the last day of my launch.
I'm so mind blown too. I'm just so, so thrilled for you. Like, this is huge. I mean, you are definitely, this is the biggest, I think. I've had a couple other people get close to 100K on their launch, but never over. So, I mean, this is like incredible. And I think especially because of the fact that, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, but have you ever launched, I mean, you had seen one-on-one clients before, but had you ever launched like a digital offer before this?
Never, ever, ever in my life, but I'm like sold for life now on digital offers.
I mean, I think everybody else listening to this probably is sold too. So if you had like one piece of advice, what would you tell somebody who maybe has a small audience, doesn't know what they would create a course on? Maybe they're really doubtful that, you know, they're not tech savvy enough, or, you know, they're busy because they're a mom. Like, what would you tell them?
Yes. Okay. Well, what I feel most passionate about in this whole experience is just figuring out, number one, what makes you feel most alive. And so you exploring that would be the first step. You can't do anything before you figure that out, because if it's something that you just choose out of thin air, or because you see that it's a popular topic, like, you're going to be so drained by the whole experience. Nothing's going to be enjoyable to you. Where would the self-motivation be to finish it and finish strong? And so, my first piece of advice is just really, really figuring out what you are on fire about. And if you don't know what that is right now, like, really, you could just like, you can ask around, like ask your family and friends, like, hey, what do you guys usually come to me about? You know, like, what do you know me? What kind of like expertise do you know me as? Like, I've had friends who are thinking about creating a course on building their own sourdough bread. And like, that's so genius because it's so niched down and it's like something that they're great at. And I was talking to a woman the other day who, she just started homeschooling her kids, and she was like, man, I'm just learning so much about this experience. Like, and you know, how, you know, what doesn't work and what does work. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you should create a course on everything you learned in your first year of homeschooling and just give moms that tool to say like, hey, like, this is like, here, let me hold your hand through this, because it's such a new and raw experience to so many moms who choose to do that. And so you just really, really never know what that is going to be. And you may not know what it is now, but it could be something that it could be a process that you're going through right now. Like, literally, you know, I moved to Maui. Like, maybe I could have created a course on downsizing and moving to an island, like how I made that move happen. So the world is your oyster as far as course topics. And really just figuring out like, what kind of thing would I be cool, like sitting down 4 hours and helping people for free about, because you're going to do so much work creating that digital product. Like you should have that kind of motivation where like you could do it for free. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to be that as enjoyable of an experience, if that makes sense.
Totally. Well, and I think one of the most important things that you mentioned in everything that you just said is that everybody has been through something or they're going through something right now. Everybody has some sort of life experience. And I don't know what you think about this, but one of the questions I got from my audience was, do you need to have specific credentials or whatever to create a course like she did? And I always say, I mean, credentials are great, but nothing is the same as life experience and going through something yourself. That's my opinion. And that's kind of what you were saying is that like everybody, and I truly believe everybody who wants to create a course, like has a course in them. You just, you know, you have to figure out what that thing is that you're passionate enough about.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, you see people all the time, like you see some of the most successful people being the ones that dropped out of high school and just figure out like that thing that they were so great at and just went for it and had the motivation to just go for it. And yeah, I am going to be your last person that would ever encourage you to get letters next to your name just to feel like you can talk about something. And that's been a question I've gotten a lot recently is, hey, like which program do I need to go through so I can talk about, you know, this? And I'm like, just go for it. Like just start learning. And it also depends on, of course, what state you live in. Every state, if you're in the United States, every state has different laws as far as like what kind of credentials you might need to give certain advice. But I'm just like the last person that would tell you, go make it official first before becoming an expert on something, you know?
Oh, I totally agree. And a lot of times I think going back for like more credentials and more trainings is just a way to procrastinate what you actually want to do. I actually heard, I can't remember who said this, so I can't take credit for this, but I heard somebody recently say that experts don't create courses, courses create experts. So it's like, you don't become an expert on something until you do it, you know? And you just, it's scary. Yeah. You have to just put yourself out there and do it. And that's how you become an expert. So with that, let's get into the audience Q&A. This is a perfect segue, but somebody said, did she experience imposter syndrome? Were you like, oh my gosh, who am I to be making this? Like, who's going to buy from me? I don't know if I am an expert enough on this yet. Did you ever have thoughts like that? Or were you like, no, I got this. I'm the shit.
You know what? There are so many different strengths and weaknesses that come with different personality types. And this was not a struggle of mine, but gosh, I had so many different other struggles. So I never dealt with this, but I also wonder if that also came from working one-on-one with so many women and knowing that this message needed to get out there. And I was like, all right, like I got to get this out there. So it never even crossed my mind, you know, whether I was qualified, if that makes sense, is that what it is? Like you feel like you're not, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I feel like, yeah, confidence in that was not something I struggled with. And yet I struggle with a ton of other things. So I sympathize, or maybe empathize is the right word there, for anybody that does struggle with that, because I know certain personality types totally could or might be more inclined to. But yeah, I think that's going to be something that I could see that being something that people just face at some point, and it actually being this like growth experience for you to have to get over. And so if that has an actual title to it, like an actual name, like clearly that's something that people face, you know, and it's like so normal for you to face that. And so therefore, like, you just got to get over that hump and believe, oh no, like I have to get this content out there. And so I think validating my course topic beforehand gave me the confidence that I needed to never deal with that.
Well, that's amazing. And of course, validating your course topic is something I teach in OCA, but I also want to mention to you guys too, I do think it is unique and amazing that was not something that you really struggled with, but I just, anybody out there who is feeling that, I just want to let you know that I felt that and I still feel that, but it's just, again, like you said, it's something that doesn't necessarily, if it is something you struggle with, it might not ever go away, but that doesn't mean that you can't work through it and just decide not to believe that thought. So just like any thought that you have, you have a choice about whether you believe that thought or not. and then take action accordingly. So I just wanted to encourage anybody who's like, oh, well, she had no fear. She just went for it. That's not me. Like, you can still do it. Okay. Yes. Like, a lot of people, I think, still do it. It is just another thing we have to work through. And then
I totally recognize that that's not like even a super relatable thing at all that I just said, but okay, here's where I can relate to this. Because now that I think about it, it was actually after my course was launched, I started getting so many, like, we're talking, and I actually just had a conversation with a friend about this the other day. I got hundreds of questions going, hey, how does your course differ from this person, this person, this person, like, and just like putting on me the responsibility to like sell my course between this person or this person, which I don't think is my responsibility. And so I think that it is my responsibility in that I put out there what all my course entails. And so I believe that that's on the customer to see, hey, this course entails this, this course entails this, and I get to decide what's the best, you know, what's the better fit for me. But I found that those messages actually started to really, really wear on me over time. And I actually just had a friend who launched her course, and I actually asked her if she's gotten any of those messages, and she said that she's gotten literally tons. And so if you can brace yourself beforehand, for people to, even if you're not dealing with that like imposter syndrome, like you, if you can brace yourself beforehand that like this might be something you struggle with while in the course creation process, or this might be something you face afterwards, and just like really hone in on, okay, why am I confident about this? Like, why is my course unique? Why is my product unique? My ebook, whatever it is that you're working on, you have to figure that out beforehand to be able to get over that hump, I think, because for me, it was just so, it did get extremely old after a while. And I think if that many people are asking you those questions, like, it can create doubt of like, why in the world did I put out a product that somebody else has a similar product to, but really they are so different. But gosh, I got so many of those questions. And now my friend, like I said, is getting those exact same questions about my course and compared to her course, even though they are vastly different. And so, I think sometimes people can project that onto you, and that can create those doubts as well. So if you walk out your confidence and you know beforehand why your course is unique, then you're going to rock it.
I love that. And also, the simplest way to look at this is like, your course is unique because you made it. It could be like, it could be a similar topic as 100 other people out there, but none of them made the course that you made. Like, every single one of us is so unique just because we are ourselves, right? So it's like, even if it's similar content that you're sharing, it's never been made by you yet. And that's enough of a reason why you should still make the course that you want to make, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, okay, next question. People want to know if you used ads, like Facebook ads or Instagram ads or anything like that.
I did not. I'm not sure if that will ever be on the plan, maybe down the road. But right now, the growth has been so organic. And I feel like, had I not done a launch team, maybe I would have considered it. But my launch team was kind of my organic way of like, advertising without actually paying for ads.
I think that's such a good tip too, like for anybody that's on a budget, because I mean, when I first started, I did not have a budget for ads either. So I think that's a good way to get the word out if you don't have a budget. And then speaking of that, did you outsource anything, or did you pretty much like edit all of the videos and write all the emails, or did you hire anybody to help you?
I quote unquote outsourced my slide editing by sending my course for free to someone to go through it, who had editing experience. I'm a huge work trade person. So anybody that's listening to this, that yes, like is on a budget, I accomplish so much on a budget. Like, so, I mean, seriously, you can trade your work so easily with people, and especially people that would value your content. And so, yeah, my one outsourcing would have been that. However, should I have outsourced? Probably. Like, I mean, going through emails and DMs, I'm still trying to figure out how to manage all of that right now. So I think the one area I could have outsourced that would have been wise is probably someone to like an assistant to like go through all my emails, go through all my Instagram DMs, go through all of the questions, because it's just so, 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 so much. But yeah, the one outsourcing that I did was editing my slides. And that is because I am a typo queen, and I just want to do something once and never look at it again and like not worry about perfection. And so I knew from the beginning that I would need to outsource that because I cannot, I don't even see my typos. So I knew I needed to outsource that.
I'm the same way. Maybe that's a rebel thing too. Like I'm sure all of my emails have so many typos, but I'm like, yes. Okay, if this bothers you, then unsubscribe now.
That must be a rebel thing then. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What, I think you mentioned you use Teachable, but is that right?
I did. Yes. I use Teachable. I built it out for free, you know, whenever I was like the free trial or something. And then I upgraded it to the, not the first one, but the second one that allowed you to not have the transaction fees.
Amazing. Yes. And Teachable is what I teach in it, how to use inside OCA, but there are, you know, other platforms out there. And then somebody wanted to know how much you invested in, let's say, Teachable once you upgraded. And then was there anything else that you used? Like, were you paying for your email marketing or were you paying for Canva? Any other things like that, that you can think of off the top of your head? It's okay if you can't think of everything, but.
Yeah, the two investments were Teachable and email marketing. So ConvertKit, because I got to over 3,000 subscribers. I had to upgrade to that. So that honestly, like paying a monthly or an annual membership on that is why I want to like really challenge myself to grow, to utilize the service that I'm obviously paying for. And then Teachable, yes, I actually did an annual, they thankfully had a Black Friday sale. And so if I'm remembering correctly. So I think I used the Black Friday sale to get like 2 or 3 months free for an annual membership to Teachable. So I can't remember exactly what it cost with a discount, but yes, I absolutely made a financial investment in Teachable and then in ConvertKit. And then that was it. I was just using free Canva. I used the free version of, what is it called? QuickTime. I used QuickTime to record my slides. Everything else was free. The only thing I invested in were the things I was going to be using after my course launched.
So I just want to compare the, like what your take home profit was, because I'm just adding it up. Like, would you say around, did you invest maybe $100, a little bit more or less than that?
Well, that's a really good question. Teachable, I feel like it was a few hundred for the annual.
For the year. Oh, that's true. Cause you paid for the year for both. Okay.
Exactly. I did the annual, I got 3 months free. So it probably ended up being around, oh my gosh, I do not want to mislead anybody by saying the wrong numbers. I'm so bad at remembering numbers, but I'd say ConvertKit and that combined, would it be fair to say like probably around 1,000, like for an annual fee for both? I invested in your course, of course, which literally like it's so funny. This was my first time investing into business. Okay. Like everybody goes through this dilemma where they're like, it's scary. It's scary to invest into your own business. Like I totally get that. But for me, like even signing up for Amy's course, it was all right. Like, do I want to yield a profit of like $6,000 for my course? Or do I want to make this like the thing that I do? And so signing up for your course, even though that was an investment into my entire business for life, you know, like that was the difference between me making maybe 6,000 and then six figures between my course profits at the end of the day, because I already had the blueprints in front of me. It ended up being so much more beneficial than I thought because of what I talked about earlier with just getting to pour what I was good at, you know, my expertise, my passion, my creativity into a product, not worry about anything else. And then from that, you have a better product. Like your product is better. You know how to sell it better. You know how to grow it better. It's just a win-win. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And I'm just like, yeah. So basically let's say my course plus everything you invested, I mean, at the high end, let's say 2,500 and to make almost 150,000. Like I think most people would be cool with that.
Very, very cool with it, because that is just exponentially more than anything I would have gotten one-on-one coaching in a year. And that was in 10 days. So it really is shocking. And then it's not, I mean, I don't know if I finished talking about this earlier, if I completely cut myself off, but I did not realize that your course just continues to sell and continues to make passive income, because once it's out there, people are sharing about it. People are sharing about it and giving you testimonials. And one very important thing that I did was have a private Facebook community. And so having dialogue between myself and my students all the time gives so much, you know, reality and for people to grasp onto, as far as, you know, if I screenshotted a testimonial and shared it to my story from my course community page, so people can just connect and, just like connect with the idea of my course so much better. So as my platform continues to grow and as more and more people are taking the course, it really just continues to sell itself, you know, effortlessly for the most part. And then of course, like, you should really be intentional about other things, but it's amazing to see that it's not just this like one-time investment for this one-time 10-day launch. Like, it really continues to completely change your life.
Right. And the most exciting thing is, like, especially for you, because your first launch was epic, but every launch after your first is going to get bigger and bigger. Because I mean, everything you're doing during a launch is basically warming people up and sharing info, but some people aren't ready to buy at the beginning. So the next time you launch or whatever, it usually gets bigger and bigger if you continue to grow your audience. So that's just really exciting. It's not like a one and done type of thing. The last question before we send people to go check out your course and more about you is, somebody asked how to find time to create a course as a single parent. So obviously you're not a single parent, but you are a parent and I'm sure you're very busy. So if you have any advice for somebody who is going through that.
Absolutely. I mean, it really depends on the age of your children. So I know some young kids, like some very, very fortunate people, have kids that like take naps until age 5. My son was definitely not one of those people. And so first of all, I just want to say it's a challenge. Like, absolutely, it's a challenge. And my heart goes out to you so much, because yes, it is a challenge. And yet it can be something that you figure out and overcome. And so even though my son is no longer taking naps, we are figuring out structure and organization in our day where he has rest time or downtime where he just reads books. And so depending on how old your children are, because I don't know what time they go to bed or what time, like, I don't know what your, you know, work schedule might look like right now for anybody listening. But you really, like, whatever you choose and set your mind to that you're going to make time for, like, I promise you can do it. And so for us, you know, let's say that I was creating a course like from scratch right now, even though my son was no longer napping. Because my husband works, you know, majority of the day. So it really is just my son and I at home. And then once he's home, it's dinner stuff. You know, it's not like I'm have time to work on things. And so even if I was creating a course from scratch right now, I think I would carve out, you know, depending on their age, I think I would carve out like an hour in the afternoon where I'm like, hey, I'm set very clear expectations of, like, you know, mom is going to go work and I'm going to be doing this and you're going to be doing this, and like having a very clear set predictable schedule, which is something I'm not great at. I'm trying to be better at. But having a predictable schedule is so much easier to, like, get your kids on board with the idea of, you need to be doing this. It's going to bless your family so much. And really just, like, creating predictability is I would say, like, the best way to approach that, you know, with any age group at all.
That's really good. And it sounds like having those strong boundaries around your time and what you're doing, even if it's only an hour a day, that's so valuable, and obviously not something I can speak on since I don't have children. So I'm glad that you were able to talk about that. So thank you, Corey, so much for being here and telling us all about your incredible launch. I know you've inspired literally hundreds of people who are listening to this. So where can people go to learn more about you and follow you and learn about your course?
Yes. Okay. So Instagram is really where I connect with people the most. And it's just Corey Malloy on Instagram, which is KoriMelloy, no dots or spaces in between. That's on Instagram. My course is called Freely Rooted. So it's freelyrooted.teachable.com. And so that's where you can find me.
Perfect. And we will link to everything about Corey and her course in the show notes, as well as information about Online Course Academy, referred to as OCA, through this episode. But yes, go, you guys, thank you so much for listening, and screenshot this, share it on your Instagram, tag Corey and I so we can repost you and get this out to more people, because people need to know, the world needs to know about online courses.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.